For those of you that don't know me, my name is Nancy. I attended this church for over 30 years. And I am not preaching a sermon this morning. That is not what I do. Rather, I'm sharing some of my experience, hoping that it will be helpful to you. Just to give you some background about myself, I was raised in the church as a young child and decided to follow Jesus while I was at camp when I was 10 years old. This is a picture of Vespers where I dedicated my life to following Jesus. Studying the Bible and praying have always been important aspects of my walk with God. I attended elementary school and high school while the Lord's Prayer was still recited every morning after singing O Canada. I believe there are benefits and drawbacks of this practice. Throughout my years attending church, there have been periods where we have prayed together the Lord's Prayer and other times where we have not. Again, I see benefits and drawbacks. To be clear, I believe the Lord's Prayer is important. After all, Jesus himself taught it to his followers. It's part of his Sermon on the Mount. This holds a lot of weight in my mind. There are two things I struggle with personally when praying the Lord's Prayer corporately or together. First, when I say or sing something repetitively, it can be hard for me to focus on the meaning. It can easily become vain repetition. This may not be true for you. The other thing I struggle with is the speed to which we say the Lord's Prayer. It's hard for me to focus on meaning when I say something quickly. This may not be true for you, but it's how my brain works. A few years ago, I heard Francis Chan, an American preacher and author, speak about the Lord's Prayer. He shared how he uses this prayer in his private time with God and how it has transformed his spiritual life. He notes that he slows down the speed with which he prays the Lord's Prayer. Francis Chan's words were very meaningful to me, and it changed the way I pray. I started to make the Lord's Prayer a daily part of my devotion and prayer time. While I may not pray it every day, I pray it frequently. This was not something I had ever done. I always saw the Lord's Prayer as a communal prayer, likely because it uses the words "our" and "us." However, as I was looking up the scripture for today, I couldn't help but pay attention to what Jesus says prior to his prayer. In verse 6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. It sounds like Jesus may be instructing us to pray this prayer on our own. Not that I think praying it together is wrong. However, I have found it to be powerful to pray this prayer on my own. These are the two things I do when praying the Lord's Prayer. First, I slow it down. A lot. And I pause between phrases. Second, if you have ever sat close to me in the pew, you may have noticed that I changed some words to make it more modern and meaningful to me. For example, no art, or thy, or hallowed. Let me demonstrate. Our Father, who is in heaven, holy is your name. Now, some may argue that holy and hallowed are not identical, but I believe they are close enough. Holy means something to me. I can easily meditate on it, whereas I find it harder to use using the word hallowed. That's just me. I'm also not accustomed to using the words thy and art. It's more personal for me to use the words who is in heaven or in heaven. I also substitute sin for trespasses. I'm not suggesting that you make this change or that we change how we pray it. I'm just sharing what has become meaningful to me. I'm not going to address specific aspects of the Lord's Prayer today because that would take too long. Many preachers have used the Lord's Prayer as a sermon series as there is richness in each phrase. Our own Elizabeth Duckworth took the time to write about the Lord's Prayer for many editions of our church newsletter. Earlier this year, I listened to a sermon series on the Lord's Prayer from Lakeside Church, where my daughter Emma and her husband Ian attend. I want to quote Robin Elliott, one of the pastors at Lakeside, who introduced the series. "When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are standing in the gap between the world that God longs for and the world that is." I'm going to read that one more time. "When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are standing in the gap between the world that God longs for and the world that is." She notes that this prayer has the potential to change the world, but that it has to change us first. In her sermon, Robin speaks about the kingdom of heaven being the life as God intends it, when God's ways are our ways. "This is what I want the Lord's Prayer to be for me. I want it to change me, and my hope would be that it would change you. I believe that Jesus gave us this prayer as a model for how to speak with God and what to request in order to be in line with who God is. We should not restrict ourselves to these words, but rather use them as a guide for deeper expression of our relationship with Christ. I want to challenge you to try praying the Lord's Prayer at home on a regular basis. Some of you may already be doing this. As you pray on your own, try slowing it down. You can also use each line as a springboard for additional prayer, and I'm going to demonstrate that in our congregational prayer. Today, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer as part of our congregational prayer. I'm going to pray it more slowly than we normally do, which may seem weird and maybe even uncomfortable for you. I'm going to use the words that I use when I pray, and then I'm going to use it as a guide for our congregational prayer.